Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text is the reading we just heard from 2 Peter. I'll read a few verses again. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, but he sure seems slow. We don't like to wait. We're no good at waiting. The motto of our age is the motto, have it right now. Do you want something? Well, you can get it with next day delivery or maybe even same day delivery. And credit lets you even have it now and pay for it later. Hungry? Take your pick of fast food, a vending machine, or throwing something in an Instapot. No need for a slow cooker, no need to plan your meals. Are you bored or anxious? It's so easy to amuse ourselves to death by binge-watching a show or falling down the rabbit hole of social media or internet. Are you tired, in pain, or just feeling off? There's no need to wait for time to heal that wound. You can probably find some sort of pill for that. Have it right now is the motto of our age. But like it or not, have it right now is not God's motto. Your God isn't a vending machine. He's more like a farmer, patiently waiting for the different seasons to come until harvest time rolls around. Or you might say that he's more like a craftsman, like someone who takes time to work with the grain as he shapes and forms things. Isaiah said, "We are the clay, and you, O Lord, are the potter. We are all the work of your hand." What a mess it would be if he tried to go too fast. And what about the Christian life? I'd say the Christian life resembles more like being in a smoker than in an Instapot. There are no hacks, there are no shortcuts for the spiritual life. It takes time for God's word to work on us. It takes time for the Holy Spirit to penetrate us, work through us, season and flavor us in the right way, to make us into the kind of people that we ought to be. "For my thoughts aren't your thoughts," says the Lord, "neither are my ways your ways." You've got that right. His ways are so much slower than my ways would be. And that's where Advent comes in. Advent reminds us that we are waiting. It also reminds us that waiting isn't necessarily bad. How different Christmas would be without the slow buildup and anticipation of Advent. If we could have Christmas instantly, it would take away some of the joy and excitement. The disciplines of this Advent season take time, and they demand that we wait. On the Advent wreath, just one candle a week. One devotion a day around the table. You don't devour the entire devotional booklet in one sitting. And if you have one of those Advent calendars where you open a window, it's just one window a day. Praying and memorizing scripture also take time and repetition. My family and I are working on Psalm 91. And if I don't practice memorizing Psalm 91 every day, it's going to take me a really, really long time. These things can't be done in a hurry. And even fasting, which is a discipline that Scripture encourages us to do, and one that I would recommend to you, even fasting is all about waiting and delaying and retraining our appetites so we can taste and see that the Lord is good. St. Paul says it this way in his letter to the Colossians: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." You could say, "Let the word of Christ marinate." Now, St. Peter describes us as waiting people. The Advent season, with its slow rollout and its patient practices, helps us look forward to what is coming. And what is coming? We are waiting, St. Peter says, for the coming of the day of God. We are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. I know, I say it too. We can't wait. But we are waiting, and we must wait. And we have no choice. The only choice we have is whether we will wait patiently or impatiently. And I will tell you that everyone who has waited impatiently, everyone who has been unwilling to wait on God, simply brings disaster and trouble. Every human attempt that has been made to bring heaven down to earth has brought us closer to a living hell. As Christians, we are waiting on God. And we are waiting on God to act. We are waiting for Him to make the move. But to be clear, St. Peter says that that day is coming. God will make that move. No matter what anyone says, it will come. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. It looks to us like God is being slow, like He is delaying, like He'll never get around to it. But what seems like slowness to us, to God, is merely patience. And that patience of God is actually a reflection of His character. It is very much like God as we see Him in the Scriptures, for Him to be patient, for Him to wait. This delay in the day of the Lord reflects His character. We are hasty people. We rush into things. We make things happen right now. But God is not like us. He is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Or as Peter says, He is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. Patient, not just with the world, St. Peter says, but He is patient toward you. He wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, and He wants you to be saved as well. This passage reminds me a bit of Noah in the Old Testament. Do you remember how long Noah waited? It was 500 years. He waited and he waited. Why did he wait? Because God is patient. Because of God's desire to save. So that others could watch him building the ark and could see what he is doing and believe in God's judgment and also in God's means of salvation. Now, what does it mean for us to wait? It doesn't mean that we have to sit there twiddling our thumbs. It doesn't mean that we just sit on our hands. For St. Peter, waiting means that we are to be people whose lives are marked by holiness and godliness. Since you are waiting for these things, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. St. Peter isn't telling us to start turning in on ourselves to try and find our own holiness or our own godliness, to make ourselves be without spot or blemish. What is it that marks our lives as holy and godly? What is it that makes us without spot or blemish and at peace? It is the sacrifice of Christ himself. It is the blood of the Lamb. And this is something that God does give to us right now, even while we wait. Behold, right here, the body and blood of the one who is coming again in glory. The body and blood of your Lord, that he might serve you while you wait, that he might make you holy and godly and without spot or blemish. And as we wait for that day of the Lord, as we wait for the new heavens and the new earth, we already know what that new creation will be like. It will be like our Lord Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. When he rose on Easter morning, he rose as the new man. He rose as a new creation. Death holds no power over him. There is no sin in him. Righteousness dwells in him, even as it will dwell in us when we are brought into that new heavens and that new earth. And this is the same Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, who will come again in glory, who gives himself to you tonight, so that as we wait for him, we also wait in him. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, but his forgiveness is here for you tonight, and his grace and his mercy abounds for you. And he remains patient, and his steadfast love continues, and he gives you himself and all his repentant salvation in Christ, so that you may live with him here as you wait, and live with him there forever in the home of righteousness. May God sustain and strengthen us in this time as we wait, by his word and by his holy sacrament. In Jesus' name, amen.